May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That was the last verse of today's gospel, and it clearly contains a promise, but also a warning. The fourth Sunday in Easter is commonly called Good Shepherd Sunday. And Margit has made sure that the shepherd is reflected in our hymns we just sung, and it's also reflected in our anthem. The collect for the day turned on the theme of the shepherd. The gospel also talks about the shepherd, and Jesus is clearly that shepherd, but in the lectionary cycle we will have to wait until next year to hear the words, I am the good shepherd. Today, Jesus says, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. And in the gate is the promise and the warning. The image is of a gate that swings both ways. In the morning, when it is opened for the sheep, they go out to the pasture to munch on the grass that sustains their lives. In the evening, when it is opened for them, it leads them into their sheepfold where they are protected from harm. Jesus is saying, I am sustenance and protection for my sheep. That is the promise. But that does not mean that the sheep are not exposed to danger. And this is the warning. There are false shepherds. False shepherds pose a very real threat. They are thieves. They are bandits. They get to the sheep by clandestine means. They avoid the gate. Instead, they climb over the wall to infiltrate the flock. Some sheep they will steal away, some they will simply kill right where they are. In either case, the goal of the false shepherd is to destroy the flock. His description of himself as the gate leads Jesus to express the intent of his mission and his ministry more clearly than anything else he says. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. In contrast to all the things that would rob you of life, the thieves and the bandits, I have come to give you life, and not just life, but life in abundance, not just survival, but flourishing, not just getting by, but thriving, not just existence, but joy. I have come to give you more than you ever expected was possible. Standing right next to Jesus, as he said those words, was someone to whom he had just opened the gate of abundant life. When we read passages like this out of context, we forget that they are Jesus' commentary on events that have just taken place. In this case, he has healed a man who had been blind since birth. Because of his blindness, he could not work to support himself, and so was forced to beg and depend on the charity of others. There was a cloud of suspicion that hung over him and his family. Was his blindness punishment by God for a sin that they kept concealed? Because of that suspicion, they were held as social outcasts and shunned. Abundant life for this blind man was sight. And everyone who was present knew that. Jesus had freed him from dependence, and his life was now full of opportunities that he had never known before. Abundant life is always contextual. It's our answer to the question, what do I need? For a bullied teenager, it can take the form of acceptance and a peer who is willing to be their advocate. For a single parent, it can be companionship and help. For the caregiver to someone with Alzheimer's, it can be just a few hours of respite and a chance to be with others. For a disadvantaged inner-city child, it can be a college scholarship. For a retiree, it might be involvement in a worthwhile cause. Abundant life looks different in different places and to different people, but it is always relief from whatever it may be that seeks to steal from us the joy and purpose that God wills for us. Just over a week ago, a documentary film was shown at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York. I'd read a review of this same film when it was at Sundance back in January. If there is anywhere on our planet right now where people are being robbed of abundant life by those who masquerade as shepherds, this documentary depicts that place. It is called City of Ghosts, and it's about the town of Raqqa in Syria. And a group of citizen journalists who call themselves RBSS, which stands for Raqqa is Being Silently Slaughtered. 10 years ago, when the Syrian civil war began, these journalists were all college students. They had a journalism professor who urged them to become citizen reporters. Document everything, he said. Use your cell phones, your laptops, and then share it with the world through social media. At that time, their goal was to document the civil war between the Syrian army and the rebel insurgents. In the vacuum that followed that struggle, they had no idea what hell would break loose in Raqqa. In 2014, it was invaded by ISIS. It's where the American journalists James Foley and Stephen Sotloff were beheaded. It has become ISIS's capital city. The documentary consists of clips of video taken by these reporters, which show just how grisly the situation is. They filmed brutal public executions, women being treated in a degrading manner, the lines that stand constantly for food and for water. It also includes recruitment videos made by ISIS directed at children. It exposes how miserable life is in a city that has been mostly turned into rubble and which is being isolated from the rest of the world. It's a picture of Raqqa that refutes ISIS claims that the people there are enjoying life in a prosperous Islamic caliphate. Some of these journalists escaped to Turkey and then on to Germany. And they formed a panel to take questions from the audience at the showing of City of Ghosts at the Tribeca Festival. One question was about their religion. They replied that they are all Muslims and that they believe in God. The questioner then asked, "So how do you deal with ISIS proclaiming that God wants all this violent death?" And their answer could have been taken from our gospel. ISIS has twisted and distorted our religion. The violence and intimidation that is being perpetrated by ISIS is a betrayal of the Muslim faith. In effect, they were saying, the leaders of ISIS are thieves and bandits masquerading as shepherds and guardians of the true faith. And they have barged into the sheepfold and are intent on killing the sheep. Unfortunately, history has shown us that there is not a religion in the world that cannot be twisted to the service of hatred, prejudice, and oppression, Christianity included. Religion should be about life in abundance. The false shepherds use it to steal the joy of others. The gospel story of the healing of the blind man, it is the Pharisees who want to steal his new abundant life. They proclaim that the miracle should never have been performed on a Sabbath. They call for his parents and try to make them say that he was not blind in the first place. They call Jesus a sinner. They try to drive a wedge between Jesus and the man he has just healed. In each of these Sundays of Easter, the Gospels that are set to be read continue to proclaim the joy of Easter and to find new words to describe it. In today's gospel, the joy of Easter is described as abundant life. And each of us is encouraged to ask ourselves, what abundant life would mean for me? And we are invited to claim God's promise of abundance for ourselves and for those we love. But each of these Sundays of Easter also has its warning. And the Gospels that have been set for the various Sundays show what they are. On Easter Day, it was how slow the disciples were to grasp what was happening, even though Jesus had told them many times before that he would rise again. On the second Sunday of Easter, it was the stubborn reluctance of Thomas to believe. Last week, it was the blindness of the two disciples to the fact that on the road to Emmaus, it was indeed Jesus who was walking with them. Today's warning is how the abundance that God intends for us can so easily be stolen. It's a call to be alert. It's a call to discern. Easter, new life, life in abundance, is our inheritance as the sons and daughters of God. Is it being stolen from us? Consider this question for a moment. What would it be like if you named the bandit shepherd who is at work robbing you of abundance? What would it be like if you called him out? Recognizing him as a thief who has no right to be in your life will put you well on the way to thwarting him. Amen.